This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 423, recorded on June 24th, 2015. It is our sixth-ish return-iversary. It's the sixth year that we have been back full-time. 10 sporadic years, but six solid years of excellence. We are here. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, Diecast, Don, Chris, Rob, Melvar, and Mr. DeLuna, John DeLuna himself. Guys, how's it going?
Tired.
I feel rested for the first time in about 2 weeks.
So, this is going to be a packed episode. We're actually recounting BotCon Tokyo Toy Show, and it's also our second annual JD Church Memorial episode. So, man, just a lot to talk about this week.
In fact, there's so much to talk about this week. We did a few other podcasts about it.
Yeah, great point. So we did an RFC Extra about Tokyo Toy Show, which we recorded live at BotCon. So it was live from BotCon, Tokyo Toy Show. Then we did another, actually, I wasn't on it, RFC Extra, where the guys got together, some of the guys got together and talked about the Hasbro reveals at BotCon. And John and Rob Clay got together and recorded an RFC mini-cast.
About both.
About yes. Tokyo Toy Show and Hasbro's reveals.
And guess what? We're going to talk about BotCon reveals at Tokyo Toy
not
Show.
Not everybody listens to those shows, so we'll recap it
here.
Well,
they should.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, go back and check. Actually,
we're producing quality content.
We are. Just stop this right now. Actually, no, don't. Because we're going to talk about JD, and that's important. After you're done with this, go back and check out the different opinions on those items. And also, Rob Springer... he's going to have Being Awesome with Rob Springer. Sorry. I'm still not completely
high
recovered.
Priority.
We're going to have a Being
it's
Awesome.
Okay, Rob. We care, honest.
Being Awesome with Rob Springer.
Yeah.
Somebody called it Rob Springer is Awesome, and that in my head is actually what I call it because Rob is awesome.
I like that name kind of better.
Yeah, I like it too. But Being Awesome with Rob Springer, and he is promising a surprise.
All right.
Is he returning to TNA wrestling?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Is this like the surprise he sprung on us when he got published?
Oh my God, Rob Springer a couple weeks ago said, "Hey, look for me in the Wall Street Journal next week."
And so, of course, we were all naturally frightened out of our minds.
But he was interviewed in the Wall Street Journal this week about Dollar Shave Club. No, he doesn't run it. He doesn't own stock. He's just an avid fan.
They would make a fine sponsor. We love the Dollar Shave Club.
Actually, yeah, we should.
If you're listening.
Let's look into that. We should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that. I use the Dollar Shave Club. I just haven't shaved in a couple days.
Because, honestly, more Transformers fans need to shave.
Oh, God, yes. We've been to BotCon, so we know.
Not you, Matt. You at least, like, keep yours trimmed and neat. You're not the kind of fan I'm talking about.
You didn't see me an hour ago, though, so.
Hey, so, actually, while we're
Rob, you have extenuating circumstances. You're exempt.
Thank you.
So while we're at it, let's just go ahead and mention, what did you guys pick up recently? Did anybody get anything good at BotCon or outside of BotCon?
Well, on Sunday, I happened to pick up this, which is the Million Publishing Go Shooter.
Oh, how much?
$60.
I hate you. That's like $10.
Bucks.
That's like $10 less than John paid.
Oh, there were more of them too, Kilby. Yeah.
It was at the same table your Magnus came from.
Oh, really?
I also fulfilled something I wanted to do since the last BotCon I went to and got Treadshot. Guess how much I paid for that?
How much?
$35.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yep, good price.
Very nice. That's like the highlight. I got most of the stuff back here. I got several of these, which I was surprised to actually get decent prices on the dealer room.
That was Viper.
And, yeah, that's little odds and ends besides that, but I spent a good little bit of money, but I got nice stuff.
I'll just go ahead and mention mine, because why not? I, of course, got the Creon set, the BotCon set. The only thing that I actually got myself from BotCon this year, because it had Robot Master, Nightbird, and Autobot X, a.k.a. Autobot Spike. Just an awesome set, so really happy with that. Plus, I got the Laser Ultra Magnus that I've been wanting, because Chris found that at the Japanese, one of the Japanese tables. Very pleased with that. Got a great deal on it.
Same place I got Ghost Shooter.
Oh, yeah. And let's see here. I got whatever in the heck the third-party not slag is.
Columbia? No.
You might have been more specific on that.
The Fans Project.
Kubar?
Yeah. And I got a $20 six-shot because I realized that I didn't have a G1 six-shot anymore. $20. Nice. It was way better shape than the one that I sold for like $100.
Nice. Hey, you just need the guns.
Yeah, I need the guns. So very pleased with that.
Maybe somebody like makes repro six-shot guns.
They ought to.
Diecast, what did you pick up? I don't remember you picking up a ton.
No, I didn't get too much. I picked up the Creo set. I got the BotCon Waspinator repaints, those four, that set of four. I also picked up a War Dog, which I'll be... I already recorded the review. I just have to edit it, and that'll be going up soon.
So, Diecast, did you use your camcorder for that?
Yes.
How'd that turn out for you?
I'm still not happy with it. Some reason, even with all the lights on it, it kind of looks dark. So I don't know if there's too much light.
Can you raise the ISO on it?
Playing with the sensors. I don't know if I can do that on that camera or not. I'm gonna have to look into it. It doesn't look terrible, but it's not where I want it totally yet.
Well, there's always a learning curve when starting with a new camera.
Yeah, and I tend to change. This is like the fourth camera I've tried doing reviews with. So, and then what else did I pick up? I picked up the Senator Ratbat.
Oh, nice! How much did you get that for?
$30.
I hate you.
Yeah.
also from Azusa's table.
That's like half of what I paid brand new.
And then
the exchange rate was a lot worse then, though.
Oh, yeah.
I also picked up the RID Jazz and...
Sideswipe?
Sideswipe. Yes, thank you. So, trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, I got the BotCon had a Let's Make a Deal table that was set up the club store. And I guess it was, like, you know, possibly missing a piece or something like that. And I picked up the Zarek. Ferric.
Yeah, not Zarek.
And he was $20. So
missing the Target Master.
Yeah, missing the Target Master. But it's still a nice figure. I like that mold, and that's why I picked it up, and I like the colors on it. So I was just kind of kicking myself because they did have a Scorponok on the table before I walked over to figure out what the table was for.
I need that.
So I probably could have picked that up.
We'll save Don for last. So, Matt, what did you get? Did you get anything?
Oh, yeah. I got myself some Viper Troop Builders as well.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah, I got three.
Very nice. I'm so jealous.
So, I got the one figure out of the box set that's worth anything at all. I got Battletrap, and he is awesome.
You got a good deal on that, too.
Absolutely. Paid
60?
Yeah, 60.
Yeah.
Thank you, Room to Room Board. I got the G2 2-pack and the Diaclone 2-pack, but the most important thing of all is I got Masterpiece 2 for Sideswipe.
Oh, nice. How much do you end up paying for it?
$58.
Very nice.
Good deal.
Yes, the Sunday sell-off is true.
It is.
Yeah, I also found Tiger Track. He's pretty awesome.
Oh, how much?
He was more expensive. He was about retail.
That's like the one that I don't have.
Yeah.
It's nice. I actually messed with that a little bit after Matt opened it.
John, what did you get? I knew you got Ghost Shooter at least.
Yeah, I got Ghost Shooter. I think of all the things that I got, probably the most interesting was the custom class Galva Convoy. Fully painted after I fully painted it. And he looks really good. I really like him. He also completes like the really obscure box art that's on one of them. I think it's Lyo Convoy. Comes with the box. It's got all three of them kind of painted on the front. So I got the hat trick. So I'm actually really happy with him. He turned out that I was talking to the guy that runs the custom class. I forget his name. It's not Sean. It's somebody else. Anyway, one of the trio of guys that run it. And he considered this mold pretty painless compared to other ones, which I was kind of surprised with, because it seemed like a lot of people this year kind of struggled to assemble this one. There were some tricks in there. I think the fittings were really tight on this mold. It wasn't very forgiving, but he considered it one of the easier molds that they've worked with. So I thought that was interesting.
Cool. Anything else?
I got a couple of the box set and everything. Yeah, I got all the other exclusives and all that jazz. I did Cave and get Kubrar and Columpio.
You got both after peer pressure.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Peer pressure. Screw you guys. But
good choice, John.
Well, I was going to get Kubrar eventually because I really like just from like looking from afar, from a distance, looking at him, which would send me down the rabbit hole of the other four anyway at some point. So it was inevitable.
Sweet. So, Don, what did you pick up?
Quite a few things.
No, duh. What did you get?
let's see. I picked up a Ghost Shooter. I picked up a RID build team in Devastator colors for 20.
Target exclusive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that loose?
Loose but complete.
I saw that. That was like $20 or something, wasn't it?
It was 25 and I got him down to 20.
Oh. I'm sorry to cut you off, Dom. Matt forgot one thing. He got the 3 G2 cyber jets at my urging.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Yes. And they're great.
Yes.
Well, they're cyber
Another
jets.
Convert. What?
No, they're cyber jets. Of course they're great.
Yeah.
I also picked up, as part of a package deal, I picked up a Bumblebee, Masterpiece Bumblebee for a friend. And since I bought the Bumblebee, I got the Robots in Disguise, the Kara Black Nemesis Prime for $20, which is like $5 more than the U.S. version. So why not? Cool. I also picked up... the last three, not throttle bots, the form throttle Kaiser. I picked up a Apollyon. I went ahead. I sold some stuff online on eBay while I was at the convention. So I thought, you know, I've got like 70 bucks out of pocket after the sales. Apollyon looks pretty. I'll go ahead and pick him up. So I picked up Apollyon.
And then the arms fell off after you picked it up.
And a thing I wasn't planning on buying is one of my favorite molds from the past couple of years is the Night Watch Optimus Prime from the first movie. I have him, but I threw the box away years ago. And I always wanted a box version of him, but they go for like $70, $80, $90. I got one at BotCon for $40, mint in a box. And so now I've got one bot, and it still works and everything. So that was unexpected. But my big purchase was the Family Mart crystal clear plastic Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime that came out for the movie in Japan. That was a store exclusive. I turned it down about 3 years ago at $225. Turned one down last year at $350, and I got this one for $100 and a trade item. Nice. So I'm really happy that I have that now. So terrified to transform him, but he looks pretty
I would
in the
be
box.
Too.
But
is it at least packaged in robot mode?
Yeah. Yeah. All the
Okay, then you don't need to transform it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. So that was literally I was not expecting to find that figure anywhere close to that. And all it cost me was $100 and the free figure from this year's set.
Hmm. Yep. Sweet. That's awesome, Don. I'm very happy for you. You got one of your grails.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. You don't have many left, so that's...
Well, you know, there is a pristine white Minerva for $5 I would love to get, but that's not going to happen, and next day it'll turn yellow anyway, so... Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. So, one thing I want to mention, and this came up over the weekend, and it comes up a lot... But I know at least once Chris and I were talking about how we wish that JD had been there with us to enjoy the time together, because it's all too precious that we actually get to be together and have fun and everything. And even though he wasn't there with us, it was like he was there in spirit. So it's been now, gosh, he passed away back February of 2014, so... About a little over 16 months ago, and it's still hard to believe, but we decided that at least once a year, well, actually once a year on our returniversary, as we call it, because JD bullied me into bringing RFC back, that we would take the time to, you know, celebrate his life. And I certainly missed him and wished he had been there with us. It's certainly unfortunate that the last time I got to see him in person was BotCon 2012. So we certainly missed him. And one thing I wanted to do, so I actually have some unpublished JD material. It was probably, what, 2013 when he recorded those Transformers Rewinds with Paladin? Because we had scheduled a Transformers Rewind session. We recorded like three or four episodes, but Paladin is the only one that showed up, and instead of canceling, JD decided to record some anyway. And because it was JD and Paladin, I'm like, maybe we just, you know, maybe we record this with other people, because they both kind of hated the material. So I do have, I think I'm gonna post the Grimlock's New Brain episode of Transformers Rewind to our Facebook page. So if you want to check that out and see some JD material that's never been published, I will post that to our Facebook page this weekend. So just be on the lookout for that.
I love that episode.
Oh, me too. They didn't.
Yeah. I got to check that out. I got to see though. What they said.
Paladin doesn't love anything. I don't think JD likes season 3 in particular. So.
No.
Yeah, nobody's perfect.
That's going to be a thing, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was I found those and was just super excited. So I basically took the time, edited them down, cleaned them up, and that'll go up. So I've got a couple more that I'll share over time. But does anybody have anything, any awesome memory or something they want to share about JD real quick? Chris,
what?
I'm looking at you.
Why?
Because
we're having a moment of silence for JD, our dear friend JD. JD,
yeah,
would appreciate
it,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I mean, he would appreciate just like a moment of dead air because
yes,
he got that so much when we were doing superhero time.
This is true.
That's one of my regrets now too, since we started doing the Star Trek episodes. Like, you know, JD would be into that. I think so.
He didn't like Star Trek, though, did he?
I don't think he hated it, and even if he did, who cares? He still would have been on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Well, one of my memories, I mentioned this last year, but it's the one that sticks out the most, when he was doing Fanboy Versus, and him and Chris McFeely and Chris Triplett, yeah, started talking about what if Wonder Woman was a television show on the CW or whatever it was.
Yeah. Themyscira High.
Themyscira High. And, you know, Cheetah was actually the bad girl cheerleader. And, you know, and the way he just kept spinning this thing, him and McFeely were just feeding off each other, making this huge, completely out of left field. And the more crazier they made it, the more they made it sound like something the CW would actually do. And by the end, it was like, you know, you had Cheetah facing off against Diana, and then you had Steve Trevor as being the transfer student, I think. And it was just this entire impossible thing that you would imagine the CW announcing as their next big show. And then I was just almost on the floor laughing by the time it was done.
So, that was great. Now, I'm going to point out, like, internally our favorite one without naming names. So we were doing a live stream for, I can't remember if it was BotCon or if it was like...
It was one of our big event things of the year, though.
Or Comic-Con. And there was a person on it who was a total idiot. We invited them because they did another podcast or something, and every single opinion they had was just nonsensical, illogical. They're just angry and upset. And, you know, JD was very nice, very pleasant to them all the way through the end. And once after the stream was over and they were off the call, he just let them have it, you know. And it was the funniest, best thing ever, and I wish I had it recorded, because I could listen to that just about every day.
seriously. I mean, just, you know, and it was hours after they left the stream. It was, you know, that was the best part.
Oh, yes.
They hadn't been gone from the stream for like an hour, and we kept streaming, and the second the stream was off, just this wonderful, you know, stream of pent-up invective. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever heard in my life.
And we were, like, sitting there for, like, 10 hours or something at that point already. And instead of, like, dropping off, he just had to vent. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. God, yeah. I miss that man.
JD was great. But, you know, he could do that. He could be completely professional for as long as he needed to. And the moment it was over with, he was JD, and he was going to let you know.
Yeah, I mean, he could sit there and do like a whole day's worth of news and be super professional once it's over and the stream was done. He could say, "I'm not wearing pants." That was awesome. He was a great guy, and we totally miss him.
And of course, my other favorite thing, memory of JD, is him and me and sometimes XV making everyone in the chat hate Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. One of my memories from Superhero Time is, you know, he lived in Oklahoma City, so obviously tornadoes were a thing now and then.
Gosh.
And one time one came, you know, relatively close to his house, and it was basically a thing of where he basically said, like, "Hang on, guys, there's a tornado coming. I got to go for a minute." And he left the microphone open while he ran to hide wherever he went and, you know, just the sounds of weather happening loudly enough to hear over Skype on the microphone. Most of us were just sitting there concerned and sort of creeped out while Fort Max was just like, "Huh." Like, me and Mickey were like, "Why didn't he turn the microphone off first?" And Fort Max was all, "But then we'd miss this."
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have that microphone now that I think of it.
Oh, the tornado microphone?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Amanda sent all of his recording gear to me, and I keep it. I don't use it, but I keep it locked away. It's precious to me. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so JD was an awesome guy, and we just want to take a few minutes to remember him and share some of our thoughts. I'll have that
episode. Which is not to say, like, we remember JD every day for, like, you know, there's not a day that goes by where something doesn't come across my attention, and I think, you know,
absolutely.
JD would have got a kick out of that. I mean, JD is alive in my memory, and I think it's the same for, you know, all of you, especially those of you who got to meet him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, JD is a living presence in our minds, as frightening as that sounds.
He's a creeping, living presence in our minds. But I'll have that episode of Transformers Rewind for Grimlock's New Brain
posted
for Saturday.
When you said that, Brian, this has popped in my head, and I don't know why. You know the scene from the opening of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe when Skeletor's head leans back and he's laughing maniacally? I'm picturing JD doing that. Just
yeah. I can see that.
We have seen him do that. He did that on video multiple times.
True. True that. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to, gosh, what was it? What happened last week?
BotCon?
Tokyo Toy Show?
Which you want to talk about first?
Well, Tokyo Toy Fair will probably be quicker.
Toy Show, not Toy Fair.
Yeah, it's easier to say Toy Fair than Toy Show, because I try to say Tokyo Toy Show. I can't do it. I can do it.
You
but
just
it's,
did.
I just did, okay. But it's hard. But it might as well be Tokyo
really
Toy
problem.
Fair. Yeah, okay. I like Tokyo Toy Show. So yeah, that happened. Certainly, what do we have? We had the return of Diaclone.
Diaclone.
Or Diacrone. That's how the commercial goes. So we actually got to see a fantastic panel. This is the one thing that really puts BotCon in a place that's apart from other Transformers conventions. They're able to get, like, official guests, and that Diaclone in the Birth of the Transformers panel was amazing.
Yes.
That should have been a Saturday panel, but that was a Friday panel?
It was.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was one of the best panels I've ever sat through.
Yeah, it was neat.
But,
and apparently we weren't supposed to be there for it, so it was even better that we got to see it.
I think it's fine at this point. Things were a lot looser at this BotCon.
Yeah, at this point, it's totally fine. That you were there like four days ago.
Yeah.
5 days ago.
We're fine. But yeah, so.
You were too, because those were some. That was a really interesting photo gallery to be able to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but Diaclone came up in the panel, of course, but Diaclone is returning, at least some capacity. I don't know a thing about Diaclone other than how it's tied to the Transformers. These are non-Transformers Diaclone items that are coming back. Can somebody speak to that? Because I have no idea.
Sure.
Rob?
Okay, when Diaclone started out, they didn't do, like, you know, ordinary, like, vehicles, like, we'd recognize. It was a more sci-fi line, you know, kind of a counterpart to Microman, except with smaller figures. So what the first thing we're getting in this Diaclone reboot line is it's called Diabattles. I believe it's a combiner made of a bunch of, you know, random space vehicles, and it seems like we're also getting some updated Diaclone drivers to go with it. So, you know, I don't know where the line's going to go after that, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether they, you know, try and overlap with Transformers or not, I think. I have a feeling they'll try and avoid that, because there's a couple of years, at least, I think, of, you know, the earlier, you know, more early 80s anime-looking stuff that they never really brought over here to you know, pick from.
Hey, Rob, I remember back in the early days, when they brought Astro Train and Blitzwing over from the Micro Change line, there was one triple changer that we did not get, which was the horse, the robot, and the jet. Would that in any way be possible in this new line, or is it just Diaclone and not Micro Change?
So far, it's just Diaclone. I'm actually not even aware of that one, Don. That's one I've never seen. So,
yeah, it's in. It's in one of the Japanese books I saw years ago. But yeah, that was one they didn't bring over because they couldn't really figure out how to market the horse.
Yeah, I can see as how that would be, you know, difficult to do.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be a llama.
It's some four-legged animal. Hey, but more important than that, we also got clear photos of Black Arachnia, Slipstream, Nightbird, and new photos of Masterpiece Trax and Road Rage. That was pretty cool. Nightbird and, well, actually Black Arachnia looks a lot better, I think, in the new photos.
They all look a lot better in the photos.
They look good.
Yeah, so they look good. I guess I should share those.
I guess I should.
Because I wasn't too crazy about Black Arachnia, but painted, man, she looks great.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
Yeah.
Not too animated either.
Yeah.
No.
My favorite being Nightbird.
Well.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
I think I like Slipstream the best.
I like Slipstream.
Oh, she's great. She's great. But we've got a Slipstream. So.
And you know what this hits home?
Better one.
This hits home every time we get like $30 deluxes, more or less, from Takara. Deluxes here are almost $20, depending on the retailer. What's the difference now?
It doesn't hurt quite so bad anymore, does it?
Especially not with the exchange rate being pretty nice.
Yeah.
Right.
So we got, again, Road Rage, but who was painted and beautiful, but Trax was not.
Oh, Nightbird has the bad RC hands.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
We'll live.
We were kind of hoping that the Combiner Hunter's change would be like a permanent change to the mold, but
unless these prototypes were run before that happened.
Yeah, which, you know, casts some serious doubt, I would say, on the idea that the reissue our Legends RC could have them.
Shut up.
Yeah. But that's not the important thing that we saw. I guess.
It's important to me.
Well, yeah, that's true. We got photos of two new masterpieces, and which one do I talk about first?
Let's talk about the less good one first.
Which one is that?
Because Matt will have things to say about that.
The red one.
Okay, so the less good one is it's Ironhide, and he's not
a work in progress.
Don, yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I think it's going to change. I really don't think that this is the final. The way we had updates with Magnus, I think we'll see that with Ironhide.
And particularly after the feedback they seem to have gotten from a lot of people over the last week or so.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much wearing a diaper. So
a large diaper with very big panels hanging off of each side.
Yeah, well, now, I did read that, Matt, that those panels can be swung to the back.
Yes.
They do not fit flush against the back, so he does have something of a butt slap.
What kind of bugs me, like I was telling John on the minicast, is that I just think there's actually too much Van on his chest because, you know, he has his little battle platform, and I would have rather seen the bumper and the headlights go to that and give a cleaner torso for the thing than, you know, than having all of that on the chest. It just, you know, if you're going to go try, you know, strive for the animation model that much, you may as well go all the way.
And I mentioned this to y'all at BotCon, but again, they've got a red bodied Transformer, and they're using a colored Autobot logo instead of using the white outline logo.
That's so far away that
I know. I'm just saying that's a minor thing, but I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. So I finally found photos of Ironhide, and he is
crap.
No, it's not crap. It's there are lots of toys that I think are crap until I actually freaking touch it. And like Ultra Magnus, I wasn't crazy about it. I was actually on the fence between it and Citizen Stack. But now that I've actually held both in my hands, there's no denying that Masterpiece Ultra Magnus is 100 quadrillion times better than Citizen Stack.
Oh yeah,
it's an amazing toy, and it didn't look great in photos. So this will probably look better once we actually get a good view.
I'm really hoping so, but I mean, whether he's got red door panels hanging off of his hips or his ass, I mean, it really doesn't matter.
Well, here,
what is it with poor Ironhide?
I haven't really paid attention to the fandom reaction since we've been, you know, kind of busy, but I'm kind of curious if there's people who are like just angry that the Masterpiece Ironhide, you know, sheds half the vehicle into the battle platform to transform to the cartoon robot mode instead of, you know, finding a way to make it work all in one.
I'm actually fine with that. I would like the more accurate robot mode at the sacrifice of the battle station completely separating. But why, for the love of God, didn't those two panels go with the rest of the battle van? Why did they have to stay on the robot?
Yeah, that's where I am. You know, if you're going to do the battle platform, go all the way and give us
right.
The best possible Ironhide figure out of it.
And here's something else to consider. Whatever the final product of this is, it's going to also be our Ratchet.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's even more weight on this figure to be tweaked. And because I think there's a lot more Ratchet fan. I don't know. I may be wrong, but I think there's a lot more Ratchet fans out there that would want to make sure the Ratchet is fine than Ironhide.
Well, the Ratchets are very important.
About Ironhide, actually.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that as much anymore. I think Ironhide's probably going to be the main concern with this.
I can see the argument for both. I mean, in terms of fiction, Ratchet has probably had a better deal over the years. But, you know.
Ironhide is voiced by Peter Cullen, so by default, that's
yeah.
A point in his favor.
Jeffrey Combs. Sorry.
Yep.
Jeffrey Combs trumps Peter Cullen every single time. But of course, G1 Ironhide was, Ratchet was not voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
We should start a petition to get the G1 cartoon
redubbed.
With Jeffrey Combs doing all of Ratchet's lines.
Doing every voice.
Yes.
No, not every voice. That would just be silly.
Okay. Yes. Let's do it. Okay, so next item, this was the what? Looks like Masterpiece Optimus Primal. Beast Convoy.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of you who are not sure if you heard correctly, yes, Optimus Primal.
That's a render, though. That's all we saw, right? I mean,
well, it's monkey, not truck, so that's...
I swear there was like a physical version of that there, but I've been wrong about that a couple of times in the last week, so.
Yep.
But, you know, the image they showed, they sure seem to be, if that is, you know, anything to do with the actual toy, they are sure trying for as close to the CG model as they can get.
And yeah. supposedly next year is the, now this is what I saw it translated as in one case, the year of the Beast War Transformer Masterpieces, year of the Beast War Masterpieces.
That's what I heard too, and it is the 20th anniversary, so, you know, again, like I was saying to John earlier, you know, the other day, if we're going to get an Optimus Primal, it stands to reason we'll get at least a Megatron.
Yes.
So okay, good. Sorry. So excited
That'd be
about
cool.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. But now if... Yeah. Just,
make it transmetal.
Well, actually, just for a second of speculation, if they're saying the year of the Beast War masterpieces, and we assume they can get what, maybe four out in 1 year, maybe.
I don't think they're going to dedicate the whole year to Beast Wars. Maybe they will. Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, if they did do, if they do it like the 2010 line, I mean, and they do, let's say, four figures. Who else would they be doing other than Optimus and Megatron? What other two would be to fill out the four?
Scarab,
Cheetor,
Scarab, Scarum,
Cheetor, Optimus Minor.
Yeah. Well, Cheetor will give us a Tigatron.
Guys,
Jawbreaker.
Guys.
Break.
Masterpiece, Transmetal 2, Dinobot.
Oh, God. Break.
I was being serious. I mean, with all... if they
Randy.
Look,
sorry.
No, actually, you know, probably you'd get Optimus Primal, you'd get Megatron, you'd get probably, like, Leo Convoy.
That's a good point.
I want Stampy with detachable good luck foot.
Yes.
And then maybe Galvatron.
I mean,
I don't know. I think they might go with unless they're going specifically to make, you know, pairs there. They might go with, you know, Optimus Primal, Leo Convoy, Megatron, and Dinobot.
I think Dinobot has to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dinosaur. Like, look at Jurassic World. As crazy as that sounds, as
timing's
crazy
good.
As that sounds, like, dinosaur toys are back.
Yeah, that's true.
And just think about them applying masterpiece level engineering to make Dinobot's cartoon dinosaur mode actually turn into the cartoon robot mode.
So, am I the only person who's wanted to go buy the Jurassic World toys, like at Walmart or wherever, and where they have the little JW on the leg, tight right in .work beside of it? I guess so. Okay, let's jump to the next item. Beast Convoy is weird.
But not unwelcome.
What? But not unwelcome.
Weird, but
correct.
Not unwelcome.
Groove. So we got clear photos of Groove, and he's not bad at all.
No.
Painted, he looks a lot more practical than he did to me unpainted.
I'm assuming somebody asked Hasbro about Groove at BotCon. Were they able to say anything one way or the other?
Somebody mentioned it, I think, during the panel, but I didn't write down all the answers. Does anybody remember what?
Well, I don't think they would be able to comment anyway, so...
Well, I don't remember...
Yeah, I know we were talking about that when we were working on, like, interview material.
Maybe.
And, we basically concluded, well, even if there is something, they're not going to be able to tell us, because if they could tell us, they would be telling us.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A good point.
Without having to ask.
Okay.
That's very logical. But yeah, so Groove, there he is. Good luck. Okay, so speaking of...
It's not really good luck. I mean, I've got one on pre-order. It's, you know, out there for anybody willing to pay for it.
So speaking of out there for anyone who wants to pay for it, Unite Warriors Devastator.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I want
that, it. That is a head-scratcher, man.
So, he comes with guns, which we knew about.
And he comes with elbows.
And he has elbows. Yes. So all of the individual robots have working elbows. Yeah. So it's a retool of...
Longhaul and Scrapper got new arms.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not the extent of it, though, is the thing.
What was the other change?
Bone Crusher and Scavenger had their knees changed. The knees hinge lower on the leg.
Why?
Because I guess Takara thought they were too high up before. I don't know. Ask Shogo Hasui.
Man, Takara's got some serious attitude these days.
Yeah. I like it, though. I like it.
It's certainly becoming interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, we may share the same mold, but I make modification that's better than you.
And there may be, like, the face may now have, like, the option to flip the visor up if you want the... you know, cartoon style or toy style split eyes versus the cartoon's visor.
Interesting. So is anybody buying this? Donna's debating it.
Yes.
I wasn't really, but then, you know, and like I said, the elbows really wasn't a thing for me, but with them coming with their own guns, that means they'll pose better. And there are some nice paint tweaks. So, I just don't know right now.
And I think Don said this at BotCon, and it was a very good point. if you want to display Devastator in full combiner mode and display the individual bots, you could buy the Hasbro version for Devastator and the individual bots to display separately. And that would,
because I mean, if Don had $450 to throw away on Kronos, he could easily buy two Devastators.
This is true.
Kronos was not that much when I got him, and I had eBay sales to counter it.
So just imagine if we get repaints, and then you have to buy like every color.
Oh god!
Oh my god! So many
Devastators.
Are we all opting to get
financial devastation?
Yeah, the Takara version over the Hasbro version, because I think I'm sticking with the Hasbro.
I was getting both
anyway. So.
Are the pre-orders up yet?
No. So the Hasbro version, though, is now available in retail in Australia.
And hey, Paul, pick this up.
And I'm checking eBay right now to see if I can find it for sale, and I'm not.
That's because the cost in shipping from Australia would be absolutely ridiculous.
But there's somebody who would be willing to pay that, so I'm still surprised
it's not
there.
The other thing, too, is that, like, I think today in Australia is the first day it's supposedly available, and half the pictures I've seen, which I've seen approximately four pictures, so two of them have been where they're obviously being pulled straight out of a stock room.
Yeah.
Now, so their availability is still questionable.
Won't the import stores get it at some point, like Robot Kingdom pretty soon?
Supposedly Hasbro has put a street date on Devastator.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. That for those people wondering why they weren't at BotCon with BBTS, because I even talked to a couple of the guys that there at the booth, and they said, yeah, they heard the same things we did, that there was going to be a pile of them there, like Metroplex. But no, with that July 1st street date, that killed any chance of getting them in.
So
for BotCon.
You said who said this?
A couple of the guys at the BBTS booth.
So they said, heard that there was going to be a pile of them, but.
So the BBTS guys heard that they were going to have a pile of them for sale at BotCon.
That's where I was going. Yeah.
So who did they hear that from, Don?
I guess Hasbro. I mean, hell's their distributor.
When we discussed it, we talked about it. We hoped it was a possibility.
Yes.
But we never gave it actual definition. They had heard that it was going to be a thing, but since they have an account with Hasbro, they couldn't bring anything with them. They can't put the pre-orders up.
That's cool. They didn't know it was a thing either.
That's cool.
There.
Very cool. Okay, so moving ahead. Let's see here. What else do we have? Anything else from Tokyo Toy Show? Is that everything worth mentioning?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll probably
get our exclusives pretty soon for the show, I would think.
Just before BotCon, USA Today broke the news of Victorian, or at least photos of Victorian.
Pictures of the comic book art.
Yeah. And there she is, and she says, I am Victorian. There you go. And sure is a thing.
Made from Hotspot and Blades and probably Breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as much variety as I was hoping for.
I'm going to get it, you know. So
I am going to end up with like five of that Alpha Bravo mold.
So I'll leave that there unless we have anything particular to talk about, because this sort of leads into what I wanted to talk about next. In general, and this is to be expected, BotCon, between that BotCon and the few items that popped up at like Groove, at Tokyo Toy Show from Takara, there's a heck of a lot of combiner pieces coming out. And some of them are going to be exclusive and hard to get a hold of. So my wallet is going to hurt. So I guess just jumping into the Hasbro reveals, of course, Combiner Wars Wave 4, 2015. And Waves 1 and 2, 2016. It's Combiner Awards, guys. So, I mean, it's a ton of combiners are coming our way.
Oh, and Collectors Club Subscription Service 4.
Yes.
Mm, yes. So good.
So, for Combiner Awards, we got the Autobot cars that we had talked about. We got the Bruticus reveal. And the only new mold in that is Brawl.
Yeah. Although Swindle is heavily, heavily remolded from Rook.
Yep.
So much so I didn't even recognize it at first.
But Vortex is basically just a repaint, right?
He is a straight-up repaint of Alpha Bravo.
As is Blastoff.
And
Blastoff is a straight repaint of Slingshot.
And Blastoff is a jet now.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Makes so much more sense.
Yeah, I'm fine
sense.
With that.
But Takara will fix that.
Maybe.
They probably will.
Yeah,
I
hope so.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Takara's a little OCD, I think.
But I will...
It's not a good thing, necessarily. Go ahead,
Don. Being a Bruticus fan... I will get that Bruticus by Rook or by Crook. I will get that Bruticus.
Nice, Don.
So, it looks so nice.
There will be a running change. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, just quick poll here. Who likes Takara Groove?
I do.
I like it. I want
okay.
It.
Looks
I
fun.
Like
okay,
it. I don't know if I like it for $150.
You know, why are you willing to make scale exceptions for a gigantic motorcycle but not a space shuttle arm?
There you go.
Exactly. I freaking space shuttle arm.
Exactly.
I never had a problem.
It's not a scale thing. I can't remember the last time we had a space shuttle fighting in a war. So
I don't. Well,
I would. I like the Takara Groove. I would rather have Rook.
Fair enough. I'd like to have both because I do like Rook.
It's not the space shuttle's fault. Nobody had the vision to actually try to do orbital bombardment
in the '40s
when it was in service.
Hey, in Transformers, they did have fights. In space.
Not with
so
space shuttles.
Space.
Well, I guess they did, but
well,
mostly Astro Train and Cosmos. So that
we're getting Skylinks, too, not that far away. Do they really want to do two space shuttles back
there?
Back?
You go.
Oh, yeah, that's probably more to it than that. No, but like, I want Blastoff to be a new mold just because we need new mold injection into Combiner Wars. We're kind of getting into retreads beyond my comfort level, and it doesn't have to be a space shuttle. There are other kinds of like, ground to space vehicles that look enough like airplane.
Yeah.
Not a rocket necessarily, but you know, a single stage to orbit space plane.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of concepts that are cool looking with make nice toys.
True. So yeah, Bruticus go ahead, Rob, I'm sorry.
I'm just not particularly comfortable with Blastoff as a, you know, totally terrestrial kind of jet. It's just it bugs me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bruticus, Onslaught will have a running change. There will be an animated version and a toy version with different color tooling on his what will end up being the chest plate for Bruticus. Mm-hmm. One's silver/gray, one's brown. So depending on whether you like the toy or the animation, I will buy both.
I like.
I'm fine with either. I would actually prefer the brown.
I like the toy better. I'm more of a toy guy, I guess. So
yeah, I think I'd prefer the toy coloring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
So, I mean, there were other things like some Legends toys that kind of don't matter as much to me, honestly.
Well,
you don't want to talk about Blue Huffer?
Yeah.
No, there is an important Legends figure that we have to talk about.
Buzzsaw?
Shockwave.
Buzzsaw. Yeah.
Yeah, Shockwave.
Oh, Shockwave, too. Shockwave
is... Buzzsaw's a PDA. Shockwave is a gun, and it's actually Shockwave, and he'll be a gun for Bruticus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bruticus...
gun/backpack.
The Bruticus model in the display case was actually holding Shockwave as a gun for proof of concept.
Which is pretty cool. There's a Retgar, which is a retooling of Groove.
Lovely, lovely orange.
It is nice.
I need that.
And of course, the really crazy one, which was the big reveal for BotCon, was Skylinx.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I could not have... unless I could not think of anything out of more left field that... we could not expect in Skylinks.
Well, he's a freaking combiner.
Yeah, when that reveal went up on the screen, everyone in the room stood up, cheered, and applauded.
And I assumed it was a leader class toy.
Me too.
Right, yeah.
And it's
but,
not. He's a
but
Voyager.
It's a Voyager, which is a center bot for a combiner, which makes Skyrain.
Best name. Best
the thing
name.
About it is, it's not the combiner that we're thinking of, where the shuttle and the bottom part, the
are not two separate pieces.
Tiger, yeah, they're not two separate pieces, so you cannot separate them. But there is a hidden fourth mode, from what we're being told, to kind of
you can
give
get the links out of it if you really try.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's going to be turning it upside down, so that. So the shuttle is underneath.
I live with that.
Flipping
because,
the legs
because
around.
Yeah, because the Lynx head is actually the head for the combined form.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can reorient it so it will actually not, you know, be looking like straight up or straight down to the ground.
Yes, but giant combiner with Lynx head is awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was pretty much...
That was an exciting surprise reveal, and I'm happy there was a genuine surprise to be had.
Yeah.
Having a chat with Justin from Hunter PR on Sunday, I think, he was happy there was a surprise still to be had, too.
So, and the thing is, the interesting BotCon this year, because everything was so relaxed as far as video and... Photos. Like my first BotCon I went to 2001, I recorded a panel and it played on RFC. Hartman's didn't care. That was 14 years ago. The last several years, you couldn't take a photo during the presentation. But basically, everything that they showed was so close to being in production and available at retail, they didn't care. Which is kind of disappointing.
It's been that way for the last few years to some degree, to be honest.
Well, okay, so like last year they had, you know, the silhouette for the Combiner Wars stuff that, you know, like with Optimus and Megatron and stuff, they could show that and hide what the line was so it could be revealed at SDCC. They didn't have anything like that this year. Like everything they showed was ready for public consumption. And on one level, I think that might be because someone finally, you know, broke protocol and leaked the photos out from the panel last year,
it's possible.
Contrary to instructions. That's my personal theory.
I also think it's a function of the fact that we have two conventions back-to-back where they have reveals they have to share. We actually asked John that question. What's his last name? I can't remember.
John Warden.
Awesome guy. They all are. During our interview, and kind of got a sort of a nod answer as to why they decide one set of reveals go to one outlet and one go to the other. But back in the day, it was pretty much just BotCon, and we would get reveals almost like a year out sometimes. And it was line art and everything, and that was so amazing. This year is a little disappointing.
Well, they just want the social media chatter, so they're not going to show anything that they aren't comfortable with being all over Twitter second they show it.
Now we have camera phones. Everybody has one.
Yeah, it's free advertising. Why would you block yourself from that?
I think what was really disappointing is we found a snippet of what's to come, and we were hoping to hear something about that panel.
So there was a banner or a poster that was standing – that was up Friday.
Both actually.
Yeah, it was up Friday, and we didn't actually pay attention to it. That basically had all this line art, and it said Titan Wars, and there's line art for a blaster, a Fort Max. What else?
Soundwave.
Well, no, not actually a Soundwave, just a blaster design, but you know,
Astro Trainish, vaguely figure
with a prime head.
Yeah, it's weird.
So the Thursday of San Diego Comic-Con, before I guess Comic-Con kicks off, we're pretty much going to find out what that stuff is.
Oh, no, Thursday I think is actually the first actual day of SDCC.
So that day, we actually may do RFC that Thursday night instead of Wednesday.
Makes some sense, I think. Yeah. No, but like as soon as we like went and got a look at that the next day, or even when we were like hearing about it Friday night, I was like, okay, so that's going to be the Combiner Wars sneak peek equivalent for this year. They're putting this out there, and they're not going to say a word about it because this is the SDCC reveal, they're just giving us a hint.
And they denied anything anytime you asked him.
And he was just coy as could be, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't know what we were talking about.
Them darn BotCon vandals and their line art graffiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Thursday, let me get back to my email because I've lost track of which day that was.
You know, I think it was because last year they said, know, they showed that line art or the shadow image in the panel, and they said, you know, this is going to be SDCC. This year they just completely denied everything and said, we don't know what you're talking about. So they can't, you know. It doesn't conflict with possibly revealing something that should be revealed at San Diego Comic-Con.
And, like, I kind of like that it seems like this is becoming kind of a game they're playing now. You know, where they have stuff that they are supposed to reveal officially at SDCC, but at the same time, it gets snuck into the BotCon stuff and just, in this case, they wait for the fans to discover it and start working on it themselves without leading us into it at all.
Yeah, it's a fun little game to play for us too, because I mean, we get to sit and nitpick everything and toss ideas back and forth, and they get to watch us do it. So,
I mean, the thing I take away from this is that, like, this Transformers team kind of gets the way we function.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
Yeah, they are a great bunch of people to talk to as well. I mean, I talked to a couple of them over Saturday and Sunday, and they're just great guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Weber, is not the first time I've talked to him, and he's awesome to talk to.
You want the boring other theory to that?
Sure.
Is the trade show budgets and creative toolkits get mixed up and kind of used slightly out of order all the time. So that was a very expensive locker that they brought to BotCon that was skinned in probably Titan Wars background art. That's probably kind of now integrated into the toolkit they're using now. And they just used it and didn't realize it. And so then they were like, oh, well, you know.
John.
We're caught, so we're just going to make a game of it. John. But all it is budget.
John.
Yes.
Stop ruining my magic.
Sorry. VP of marketing.
We're having fun here.
Yeah. VP of marketing.
John, stop being a professional in this field who, like, probably knows what he's talking about, and let us actually talk about what we know is going on.
Yeah.
Hey, they had fun. I appreciate that they had fun with it. Yeah,
I'll tell John the same thing I told XV in an earlier Twitter conversation about Dukes of Hazzard. Stop shooting cannonballs into my holes of my entertainment.
True.
Don, you and the General Lee and the Confederate flag and all that.
No,
boy, that's a mini cast in itself.
Like, Don, you tweeted out that commercial or something, right? And then I was complaining because they didn't even try to make the interior shot car look like the exterior one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they used a cover of the theme song. Oh my
God. I didn't even care about that. It was just like, there's, you know, at least like put fake roll bars in the interior shot car so that it looks the same from the outside and the inside. It bugged me.
Yeah, so
why are we even talking about this?
I know, I'm pretty much doing this episode off the cuff. So is there anything else that happened at I guess we should probably talk actually about BotCon too, sort of thoughts around the whole convention as a whole.
I had a question before we move on. So we didn't see Computron, which people kind of hope for or were expecting. Does that mean we'll see him at San Diego Comic-Con, or is he going to be hauled off for New York Comic-Con?
Okay. I think what's going on here is, if you think back a ways to when Springer and Blitzwing were revealed, those hit via store retailer listings a little bit in advance of actually being shown, and Blitzwing was listed as Astro Train. So I think the scattershot listing actually is Skylynx. And by whatever process, the wrong name was applied to it, and there never actually was a scattershot or a Technobots in the works.
Oh, so you don't think they will? There's a possibility they'll never happen?
Very much so.
Yeah, I don't think right now there is a Computron 2 show at SDCC. I think we will see Victorion, and that may be an early end to Combiner Wars in 2016, and then transition into whatever Titan Wars
but
is.
Just because Combiner Wars will end doesn't mean that Combiners will end.
They're too profitable probably at this point.
Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was talking to Paladin about – actually, he brought up a good point in another few when I got back from BotCon. If Skylynx did take Computron – I'm just saying if that is what we thought Computron was. It's doubtful they're going to be able to squeeze another combiner in with Bruticus, with Skylynx, with Victorion coming out. It's going to be very hard for them to get another combiner out before Combiner Wars ends. So it's possible that, like y'all were saying, either we're going to see Computron in Titan Wars, because Megatron is a Combiner Wars figure, but he's not a combiner. You could have Computron in Titan Wars
That's exactly what we're saying. I mean,
it
doesn't have to be Titan Wars. It could be whatever the heck else comes after Titan Wars. I mean, we have a system in place for these combiners to combine with. Fans will want them. They seem to be pretty easy to do, so there's no reason we couldn't get a Computron in 2018 or 2019 if we really had to.
If we wish really hard.
Yes.
The thing is, like, if Combiner Wars goes for all of 2016, there's absolutely no problem getting a fourth Combiner out that year. We're getting four this year. To do that, though, Computron would have to be all reused molds. There could not be a new mold in there because there would be no chance to immediately get a second run on that mold as something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, Retool Brawl is one of them. If they can get that groove mold over, you know, there's your afterburner. I really think they would just make the Legends groove be afterburner in that case, though, and fiddle with Computron some other way. Like, it could be done, but much like, you know, blast off the VTOL jet, I'm not sure everybody would be entirely satisfied with how it would have to turn out to be made to happen this year.
That brings up a question I have for you guys real quick.
Sure.
Are you guys getting fatigue yet on some of these molds?
Yes. Yeah,
I thought I covered that pretty well when I was talking about owning five Alpha Bravos.
So,
with what I own, no, with what I see coming up.
So we didn't actually even mention, we only in passing, the Fun Pub, Transformers Collectors Club combiners. The Subscription Service 4.0 is a wave of combiners, or a wave of combiner toys, with the centerpiece being Bludgeon and various other toys. It's
They're
awesome.
The Mayhem Attack Squad.
It's awesome. It's
one of which is going to be the Fireflight mold again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's neat, and we'll see what happens. But honestly, I'm kind of getting tired of combiners.
Not only is one of them the Fireflight mold again, one of them is the Alpha Bravo mold again because there's Spinister in there.
I mean, I'm going to buy them, and I'm excited to actually have them. But it would be nice to get non-combiner stuff.
So
I don't know
Alpha
that
Bravos
I can buy them because how much is that combiner going to be? It's going to be like
$300.
What? $300 when that's like,
well, now,
that's like third party money.
To be honest, like, Needle Nose looks okay to me, but not in a way where I really feel like I need to get it. And none of these look so good that I really think they're anything I need.
But now here's something interesting. Some of y'all are already saying you're tired of Combiner Wars.
No, Don.
I would like to do molds in Combiner Wars.
There's an overuse of some of the molds, and that's what we're tired of. The concept and design philosophy of Combiner Wars is not at all.
Right. It's just, you know, I just want to make sure people watching understood what we were saying. Okay. I didn't want people thinking we're tired of Combiner Wars. It's just
Combiner Wars is still my favorite thing ever.
Combiner Wars is the best thing ever as far as the line goes.
Yeah,
it would be nice to have some more non-combiners in Combiner Wars.
Or new mold, or new, at least some
just
new
molds.
Yeah, some new molds.
I'd be fine with some new molds.
Okay, so the convention as a whole, though, what did you guys think? This was the first BotCon for two of you, Diecast and Melvar. What do you think?
Well, we took the true BotCon experience getting there.
Oh God, do we have to bring this up again?
But apparently, it took a little bit of time to get there. It was a little bit more work than I would have liked to have had to do to get from the airport to the venue. I liked the amount of space in the dealer room. It was great to walk around because I really hate when I'm crowded at New York Comic Con and I can't even move. Yeah, so that was really nice.
There was a lot of open, empty space between those exhibits.
Yeah, the panel was really good. I mean, the Hasbro panel, that's what I'm used to seeing at Toy Fair, so that kind of wasn't a surprise to me. The beginning of the Transformers or the start of the Transformers panel, that was awesome. Made it worth the trip just seeing
that. That's interesting. Speaking of someone who doesn't go to New York Comic Con in that event, the Hasbro panel is the only thing that I have like that. So that I love the Hasbro panel, hence why I'm a little disappointed by it this year. But that Birth of the Transformers panel was great. And
that Birth of the Transformers panel is the kind of thing that I want to go to a BotCon to see.
And that's the kind of stuff you'll only see at BotCon, unfortunately. So, but the most important thing to happen panel-wise, Don gave Susan Blue RC, and we have photos. Don, tell us about that experience.
Well, I mean, everyone's making it out to be this... I mean, I never started out to be Headmaster Don. You have to understand that. I started by saying, look.
You didn't choose to be Headmaster Don. Being Headmaster Don chose
me, exactly.
I was just a regular guy who liked Transformers.
But I'm just saying, you know, it just turned into that thing because I just wanted to let them know that, you know, if they did a Headmaster RC, it would fill in so many gaps in people's collections, people that liked Headmasters, who liked the movie, and things such as that. And then it just took on a life of its own because every year they never made the figure. They could have done it. They never did. They never did. And it just took on a life of its own. But it was great giving her that figure because I think RC set the template, I would like to think anyway, for other both non-Transformer and non-Transformer characters. And to give the voice actress who did the character, even though it was a small role in the mythos, I understand that, but to give someone who has done such a great amount of for Transformers, both as a voice actress and as a voice director, to give her signature, what I feel is her signature toy, was important to me because it means that we finally got the toy that we should have gotten years ago.
Yeah.
And that was nice to say, look, your character started all this. You're one of the few that does not even have an accurate representation of your toy. I like the animated mold. I'm just saying from a pure G1 perspective, we finally have it. She's got it. It's all good.
That's awesome. So, yeah, that was a highlight. And Don said, people call me Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of me.
That was fantastic.
That was amazing. Yes.
And she actually remembered me from the last time we were at BotCon together. She remembered me telling her, hopefully the next time we meet, I'll be able to finally give you your toy.
I'll be able to finally give you what you deserve. Okay, so Don, that was amazing. I loved it. Let's see here. So what I liked about the convention is hanging out with you guys. Going to Galloping Ghost was great.
Portillo's.
Giordano's.
Giordano's.
Yeah.
Giordano's is way better than Portillo's, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go with Portillo's.
I'll go with Giordano's.
Yeah, Giordano's was pretty amazing.
I'll go with Portillo's, sorry.
The food options were great. Like I was telling Chris, it's not like going to like an amazing city for food like Savannah, Georgia or something, but it was like strip mall heaven. And so like it was all the best strip mall restaurants that you can put in one place, so... And everything is super convenient.
Yeah, and for those people that was wondering, I don't know about everybody else. This is just speaking from my experience. The tower rooms that we had in the Pheasant Run were very nice. We had a great view of the swimming pool down below and the skyline of the city.
So yeah,
and I'm just saying, no, the open courtyard kind of thing. We didn't have any reported problems beforehand for us did not exist. We did run into a bad air conditioner, but, you know.
I think our air conditioner in the hotel across the street gave out one night, too, so.
So, yep. it
That happens.
Be, yeah, so it, that's just a thing. Other than that, though, the room was nice. The staff at the hotel was very nice. No, I really have no fault, other than getting there, driving 15 hours.
God, the drive was killer. Yeah, I've never
done the resort itself was a really nice place. I thought it was a good venue.
It was nice. It was it's I don't know, something. It seemed a little like when I think resort, I think of something like Disney or something newer. It was a little old, it was older, but it was fine.
Yeah, and you know, people were talking. You know, it was very labyrinthine.
Labyrinthine.
I mean, it wasn't even that. It was just, you know, extremely spread out.
Yeah,
yeah. Not as a comparison. If you went to San Diego, it was not like as bad as San Diego because our bungalows were almost just other side of the world away from the resort part, and it was just this.
It was
long,
it was convenient, definitely convenient.
It was convenient. But I think Melvar said it. That place at Halloween, done up in Halloween, that would be a great like Halloween place to have like a
yeah.
A scare tunnel or something, because you got little alcoves and hidden stairways and just stuff like that.
So basically,
it was a great place, but it was like one good, you know, dress away from being absolutely terrifying. Good to know.
Yeah. So,
when we were walking out of one of the corridors from a room party or something, and turned a corner, and this like disembodied piano music started in.
That was Kilby. Yeah.
I think Kilby about jumped out of his skin.
I did, and it was diecast because he knows how to play piano, and we didn't know.
No, it wasn't. No. That wasn't diecast. That was just some kid who was.
Oh, that's
around.
Yeah,
that's this was after Diecast.
That was, yeah, okay. Yeah. So I said that this was going to be my last BotCon, unless it's nearby, it probably will be. I mean, if it's a shorter drive or if I can catch a ride with Don or somebody, if our schedules align, I might go back. It's just, it's not a, you know, fun pub thing. It's I have different priorities sort of thing. And seeing everybody was great, but I think we can probably figure out some other ways to see everybody without having to travel across country to do it.
Oh, so that was my prediction that I wanted to mention in the show. Since while we were at BotCon, TFCon announced that they were going to be going back to Chicago in 2016. My prediction is, because they seem to have this little jabbing match going on, I wouldn't be surprised if BotCon seriously considers Charlotte for 2016.
Why would they?
I don't.
Why not?
Because they're in Charlotte this year.
No, BotCon?
TFCon.
TFCon's in Charlotte this year, but why can't BotCon be in Charlotte next year before TFCon?
I mean, well, it's TF. It's in TF.
They do keep kind of announcing their new locations in the middle of each other's show. Just make out
at the at the start of each other's
but,
show. Yeah.
But
right. So when we're at Charlotte in October, then we'll find out that BotCon's going back to Pasadena or something like that.
But Texas. Something like that. But just when it boils down to it,
Texas would be okay.
TFCon's gonna be in Chicago next year, not Charlotte. It's gonna be in Charlotte this year. And honestly, BotCon doesn't have to kowtow to where TFCon is. It just so happened that this year, past year, it's also going to be in Chicago. So they decided to try to be awesome and all and bros and say. And that
I disagree. I think there's kind of a punching match.
There's
going
no way in
and
hell.
I, no,
there's no way
no,
in hell.
And like I think TFCon going back to Chicago next year is also coincidental because people liked the Chicago location the first time they did TFCon USA, so they got that back and they're getting the bigger space in there. It's not an antagonistic thing. It's just a series of coincidences.
Yeah, there's no way in hell. If it's in Charlotte, absolutely, I will be super happy, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all TFCon is that they got the Supernatural space back. So, because I'll be honest, the dealer's room
is cramped. The
amount of product there was fine to choose from.
Oh, it was awesome. There's a good selection.
But where we were at, it was very difficult to move. You know, this year's BotCon, I think, was one of the best physically laid out dealer's room. And I love the floor because you didn't feel like your feet were going to just fall off when you were done walking the dealer room for the 20th time.
No, I felt that way after the 5-mile walk from my car to the dealer room.
It wasn't 5 miles.
It felt like it.
About 300 feet. It was hot. But, you know, in general, though, I had a good time. And, like, I can't compare it to, like, a TFCon or a ShardaCon because they're two entirely different things. And
So I had a good time when I got to the show.
Yes.
Getting to the show was kind of a nightmare. Not looking forward to ever doing that again. but, I mean, the show itself, I had fun. The dealer room was fantastic. A couple of the panels were great, but a couple of the panels,
not so much.
Well, there were two panels I can think of. It was the one of the voice actor panels and the Art of Transformers, where we went in and sat down, and the panelists themselves didn't seem to know what they were doing.
That's funny.
Or like, they didn't know.
Like
they
were
know
under
the
impression
was
it was supposed to be open Q&A the entire time. That when there was, I mean, nobody knew what to expect out of the panel.
So that's actually kind of funny because some of the other panels, like what I normally would go to, there was no IDW panel, no cartoon panel. So there was a real shortage of official panels this time. So that was a little weird. And that's what I go to BotCon for, is the official experience. I go to like TFCon or ShardaCon, which was one of my favorite things ever, for like the fan experience. So if there's a lack of official material at the official con, that's a little weird.
That is one argument in favor of, say, Pasadena next year. It will probably be a lot easier to get IDW and Hasbro to show up.
I don't want to say it, but it'll probably be California again.
Right. Now, one thing, if we're going to talk about the dealer's room, I think one thing we need to talk about is the Hartmans, just because
their selection was kind of
Well, I mean, it's not just – I mean, it was a lot of Energon, Cybertron, Armada stuff. But the prices, oh, my God. Just, I mean, they literally – imagine – what would y'all say? 5 or 6 8-foot spots?
So their stuff was like all Unicron Trilogy stuff, and it was all priced under retail, which was really weird. Yeah.
And they marked it down on Sunday to just blow it out.
Yeah. It was basically the leftover stuff from their collection. Yeah. The dealer's room was okay. Hey, so we're running way longer than I wanted to run tonight. So Diecast wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who thanked us for covering BotCon. On Twitter, on Facebook, retweeting stuff, looking at the photos. There was a couple of people that came up to us and thanked us for doing the show. It really kind of blew me away, and it made me feel good about all the time we were spending, because we really were doing a lot of work at BotCon. So I really appreciate that, because I don't know that I'd go to any convention and do this if I didn't know people actually appreciate the time we're taking to look at the stuff. Because honestly, I wouldn't even take photos. I would just look at the stuff and then go in the store and buy it in a couple months.
But you're so good at it.
But I'm just saying, I really appreciate everyone who commented online or came up and thanked me. I mean, it really does mean a lot to me. And, you know, to help us out, if you can, if you're going to buy anything on Amazon, go on tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yes.
And it'll help us out, keep the lights on.
Thank you, Diecast.
Just speaking for myself, I probably would have enjoyed the show a lot more if I had time to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
We were busy.
So Diecast was covering for T-Formers. And T-Formers, those guys keep their crew like way busier than RFC does.
No. That was covering for T-Formers.
Yeah,
That's what I said.
No.
Oh, well,
don't ever do that again, by the way.
Diecast was covering for T-Formers.
Don't confuse me with Blur.
Blur. That's awesome. That cast is so Blur. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Blur's like one of the most popular Autobots ever. So that's if you read the comics, he's like a superhero. But
that's how I am at those panels and those events. I just, you know, everywhere.
You know, in social situations and driving and
that's me too. Hey, so we had a lot of fun. Don wanted to mention the dealer room. I think we mentioned it's pretty spacious and there's some pretty good deals. Don, was there anything else besides the Hartmans that we left out?
Brian Savage did say in the TFC the panel that they wanted to get everything smoothed out for next year, and that so he's aware of some of he's aware of the feedback, and he did mention
good.
That.
Good.
You know.
Good.
You know.
We'll see.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. I want them to succeed. God, I'm so sleepy. I want them to succeed. I don't want them to fail. They're our freaking official Transformers convention.
I'm going to say again what I said in 2012. I want to see, as a person who cannot get to this show, I want to see online the people you see at the con. I never see this. I want to see it.
Yeah. Hey, so Rob, what's on T-Formers?
Okay. Well, we've got this week I got reviews of Morden Meets the Eye number 42 and Windblade number 4, which, you know, not the best issue of either, but decent. XV's got an article on what is Titan Wars, you know, giving our, you know, his best guess on what it's going to be, what it means, like that. And, of course, his great interview with Jerry Javoyne, John Morden, and Ben Montano. And, of course, coverage of absolutely everything we've talked about so far and more. It has been a busy week.
It's been a busy week, and, you know, Rob did as much here as we were doing there. So, you know, don't undersell what the people at home did while we were there either, because it was every bit as important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great job, Rob. Thank you. And let me tell you, Tokyo Toy Show, that was a morning. That was a lot of news.
That was a morning, and like if I hadn't been at BotCon, I probably would have been doing an all-nighter trying to get that going up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, as it was rolling in, because I'm nuts.
Part of I'll be honest,
some overnight and some in the morning, but that was a lot of news.
So one thing I kind of want to point out real quick before we drop off is I kind of miss doing the live stream. I really that's something that I enjoy doing every year is the BotCon live stream, because you know it's a chance to get together with folks, and it's very, you know, at the very least, if we have people there, we can get news and stuff from the show. But it's something that we can do for the people who can't go. While we had a lot of awesome coverage, it is awesome though sometimes if somebody stays behind and does that. I'll volunteer to do that next year.
Well, if it's in California, I think we'll all be doing that next year.
Don will be there.
Yeah. Except maybe John, yeah.
John and Don will be there.
John's in Texas, so it's not too far for him.
Yeah, it's
– plus, if John only takes one trip a year, I mean
– yeah.
Yeah, it's just – I'm just not sure if I'll be doing TFCon in Chicago again. It just – I don't know. I have to wait and see.
That's all right, Don. We know it's expensive to do this stuff.
And it's over a year away, so no decisions have to be made right now.
But I do want to say the look on Don's face in that dealer room. I have never seen anybody that happy in my life. It was pretty great.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, just like throughout the weekend, just how happy Don was the whole time. It was great.
Well, when I pick up a $1,400 Dino King and it's like, I'm going to put this back down now. Because Dino King is one of the ones I don't have, and it's like, I can't pay that for the Monstructor mold.
Was that at TF Source? Because I saw...
No, that was at Captured Prey, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one we saw.
Yeah, that was Captured Prey. He sold it, though. He sold it. It was sold.
Impressive.
Man.
Well, yeah, so, yeah, it's... I'm sorry, the dealer room is kind of like my little... world, and that's just like
that was so creepy the way you started that, Don.
Yes, that was great.
Cool, awesome. So I'm going to say that we're done.
Good.
Thank you.
Yes.
See you later.
Man, this was a 30-minute show that lasted an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, we knew it was going to have a lot of content.
We didn't even talk about third party, and we were at the third party not con. We'll talk about that later, folks. We'll see you next week.
How about Spartan?
Have a good one.
Hey, y'all. Take care.
See ya, SDCC.
We could do that as an extra.
Not now.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.